That's right. Give God a clap. Give him a shout. He is worthy. I just want to thank the Holy Spirit for showing up so powerfully. Ha. He's awesome. April 19th, seek his face. Ah, oh, that's good. Water baptism. Ha. I like water baptism because it leads to fired baptism. So, you know. Ha. Oh, I remember when I got dunked, it was really good. Went down, went up, fire came on me. Had problems walking home that day. Ha. April 22, May 6th, baby dedication, another good thing. Ha. Ha, dedication to God. And May 6th, of course, one of my favorite things. Get details from connectors and House of Prayer. House of Prayer. Seeking God. You know, there's quite a few people. Anybody here from Midtown Church? Just say, you! Hey! That's my church. It's a TACF campus. Last weekend, we were in a Baptist church. A little old Baptist church. Because they heard my worship team, led by Carrie over here, who's awesome and prophetic and amazing, worshiping. And they're like, we want you to come and worship with us on a worship night. And they called, and they called. And then we went there, and you know what happened? They were on fire. They were on fire. They were crying out for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and raising their hands. Something is happening. These were Baptists, yeah. Old people, too. God was just pouring and pouring and pouring. Oh, thanks, Holy Spirit. A little more pouring. Pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And I used to travel around with a friend of mine who was a worship leader. And I used to be his intercessor guy. And so we would travel around, and some places the Spirit would pour, and the pastor would be really happy. And other places the Spirit would pour, and the pastor would be really upset. So I'm looking at this pastor's face as they're crying out for the baptism, and the Spirit of God is pouring, and I'm expecting him to look unhappy. But you know what? He was happy. He was getting happier and happier as the Spirit got stronger and stronger and stronger. That's revival. That's what it's all about. People opening up their heart, dipping it into the stream of life, getting filled, surrendering to God. Ha! Especially in these times. Especially in these times. So yeah, we have some people here from School of Ministry. School of Ministry. Woohoo! Ow! Yeah! School of Ministry is amazing. They travel all around the world, bringing the fire of God to places. They become streams in the desert, literally. You'll hear countless stories of healings and transformations and churches on fire. And oh, I can't wait to hear your testimonies from your outreaches, because it's just going to encourage me to press in all that more for more of God. You know, not only that, but at School of Ministry, I remember when I was at the leader's school, I was on that floor just weeping and weeping and weeping as God did a mighty move inside my heart. And there was all this inner healing that came. And I was, oh, the joy and the freedom that I took away from that. Ha. No accrediting could ever match. You know, the Lord actually wrote His precepts on the tablet of my heart, like in Ephesians. He did it. He wrote his precepts. And so you guys enjoy the School of Ministry, and they're going to take all that stuff that they've been getting for, how long you guys been here for? 3 months? 2 months? Soaking in God, getting the values, getting filled, holding and going, doing outreaches. They're going to be laying hands on you later on tonight. Praise the Lord. And my cell guys are here. Woohoo! Yay! Those guys are awesome. They're pressing in and going after God. So anyways, without further ado, you know, praise and worship is an amazing offering onto God. It is. But I honestly believe, like, praise is just the beginning. Who knows that? Praise is just the beginning. So one of our awesome School of Ministry students is coming up to talk about that.
Hi, I'm Dorothy. I'm from Manitoba, Canada. This is actually my second school. Last school I did Heart School. And I hadn't actually planned to come back for another school. I was more just, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go home. I'm going to do whatever at home. But then the last week, God just sort of started really putting it on my heart to just come back to another school and just go deeper and dig deeper into the Word of God. And so I'm now on the Revelation module. But I'm like, God, I don't have any money left. I don't have anything to come here to the school with. And that last week, God just sort of, He gave me three prophecies from three different people that had no idea that I was considering going to another school. And they just started prophesying these, like, confirmation, and they're just like, finances are gonna come in, you know, that's one thing you don't have to worry about. And so, like, I'm just like, okay, I'm coming to the school, I don't have anything to show, like, I can't pay the tuition right now, but I'm like, okay, God, I'm just gonna trust you, I'm gonna believe that this is what you have for me. And so, it was about as soon as I started coming to the school, God just started laying it on my heart to even tithe from the gifts I was getting from people to, like, help pay for my tuition. And I'm just like, but I'm like, oh God, I want that to go towards my tuition, because there's a lot, it costs a lot, but it's so worth it. But, and finally I'm just like, okay, you promised you would pay my tuition, and if you're asking me to give tithe from the money I'm getting from people, I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna believe that you are gonna, like, pay in even more. And so I did that, and I'm just like, God, I'm not seeing any fruit, I'm not seeing anything happen, I'm like could be going to my tuition. But then this last weekend, I ended up getting $800 from back home. And then a friend of mine here at the school ended up giving me $100 as well. And then a friend from last school sent me $35 just out of the blue as well. And so I'm like, oh, it's coming in. And all I had to do is just trust God and just be like, whatever, I'm gonna give you what you want from me, and in return, He's gonna be so faithful. Like, there's whatever you need, God is not gonna forget about that. He's going to always be there and provide that for that. Like, if it's finances you need, just press in and be like, God, how much do you want me to give? How much do you want me to just give it to you? And I'm pretty sure He's going to say all of it and just trust Him, but it's totally worth it in the end. And so God is always faithful.
Woohoo! He is. I've heard countless testimonies of people getting $10,000, people getting $20,000. We had a girl in our church, she got, like, I can't remember what it was, like something like $2,500 to go to the Cry Hollywood. And so she went, and she got blasted. And God, He just does that. He provides sovereignly, supernaturally. I remember one time I was in a meeting, and I had some money for something. And I'd already given $300 into the plate. Okay? And God, I had $100, and Lord was like, it was supposed to get me through the week. And I was like, oh, now I believe in giving where your heart is. I give to TACF because I believe in the work that they do here. I really do. But anyways, I'm holding on to the money, and God says, give it. So I gave the money. And the second I gave the money, another lady came with $200 and said, God told me to give you this. And that's God. That's how it works. So if you want to give the money, we're just going to pray. We're going to say the prayer like, Lord, I pray that you would bless our finances, bless our time, and bless our lives and everything else that we would offer up to you today. I pray, God, that we would give extravagantly to an extravagant God. You are an extravagant God, that's for sure. Whoa. And so, Lord, even as you are an extravagant God, that we would give extravagantly to you, Lord. Ha, not just so that we might receive, but so that we might be part of a miracle. That we might be part of supernatural. Lord, I thank you for that, Lord, that there's many people here that as they give, that they're giving into their miracle, that they're stepping into the supernatural and out of the natural, like this young lady is. Lord, and as they step out of the natural and into the supernatural, that they would find that your love, God, and your provision is more high, more wide, more deep than what man can comprehend. Amen. So we just pass out these buckets. If you need an envelope, just raise your hand. If this is not your home church, don't pay your tithes here. Pay your tithes at your local church. No problem. Here comes the guys with the buckets. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for each and every offering that's going in this bucket, that it's going to Africa to raise people in the dead from the dead, that it's going to painting people who's had their apartments burned, houses, that it's going to welcome people into the kingdom through blessing little children with bouncy castles, that it's going to hundreds and thousands of people rolling on the floor and experiencing God in a way they never have before. Thank you, God, most of all, that it's going to you, Jesus, and we can trust you with our finances. Ha. You know, wait, oh, hang on. So handing out the buckets. There used to be guys at my work that used to get so mad when I would invite them to church. I work in a warehouse. I help make Chrysler minivans. So, yes, I'm a volunteer pastor. I was on the intercessory prayer team here, the senior one, for 6 years. And I love street ministry. And I love discipling people. And I love the presence of God. But I would tell these guys, they're like, I'm not going to church because I don't want to give my 10%. That's what they would say to me, and they'd be all mad. And I'd look at them, and I'd just smile. I said, God doesn't want 10%. And they'd look at me, they'd be like, what? I said, he doesn't want 10%. He wants it all. That's what I used to say. I said, oh, he wants it all. He wants it all. And they yell a little bit more, but I'd say, yeah, he wants all of you. And you are worth much more than 10% to Jesus. Whoa. To the point where God decided to give up his own son. That's worth the fairest among 10,000. The precious one, the glorious one. Ha. I'd just tell them, I'd say, yeah, God believes that you're worth much more than 10% of whatever you're making. You know, and he gave it all just for us. Just for us. Some of them would get really mad, and some of them would stop, pause, think about it. And You know, different various reactions. I'd loved angry truckers back then because they used to go around telling everybody how much I loved Jesus and how much it annoyed them. And I get more people to hand out Bibles to and minister to because of them. So, yeah, they were my best advertisement. Persecutors. Some people would come in secret and ask me questions about Jesus and about God and about the Bible. And I would pray for them, and they would pray for me. It's cool. I still get phone calls from people who I used to work with asking me how I'm doing. And I still get to ask them how they're doing. Yeah. Oh, so, this last couple weeks, does anybody know what's been happening this last couple weeks in Toronto? Does anybody know? Has anybody been reading the papers? Watching the news? Well, my church is a very active church. We're a church that loves to be the answer to our prayers. So my wife and a team of people lead this thing called White Rose, and they go off to the brothels and the strip clubs, and they minister to the women there and try to pull them out. We love to do intercessory prayer meetings and harp and bowl with 20, 30 other churches. We love to do community stuff. We love to do, there's countless things, this thing called Impact Education, where we had like 500 pastors and leaders come and pray for the city because of this bill that was coming in that was bad. And we love to just get down and do stuff. We got Natasha here. She's a missionary from our church. And it started out that God gave her heart for Africa. So she went to Africa. She went to a town. And she helped start a farm. And then she helped start a school. And then now she's starting a library. Yeah. The whole town works for the farm. And she led them all on Encounter Weekends. And then they invited her to come and minister to the whole town. So she spends most of her time now in Africa. Praise the Lord. Amanda's here too. And God spoke to her about Japan. And so she was praying and praying and praying. God opened the door, and she went to Japan. And the first little while, it was really rough, tough going. But she just kept persevering in faith. Even when some of the churches that were there didn't like her and told her to keep moving on, she would just keep moving on. And she found herself teaching English and evangelizing people. And then this tsunami thing happened, and revival broke out in Japan. And Amanda had more meetings and more invitations, and there was miracles. She was telling me how there was these people in this hospital who had no food, and they were praying for rice, and there was a tidal wave, and it left rice all over the floor so they could all eat and stuff. Yeah. You know, and I don't know. How many years have you been praying for Japan, Amanda? So we'll say 20 years of praying. So far we got, 2 years of miracles and revival. More to come. Amen. And so me and my wife were really involved in this thing called Bound for Life. We used to lead Bound for Life. Did anybody know what that is? That's where you pray for abortion, for aborted babies, because you see they can't scream, but they feel pain. So we stand in the gap in front of the abortion clinic with a whole bunch of people. Cops come, security guards come. They all hate prayer. They all hate it. There's one this Saturday, actually, if you want to go. It's at 8:00. And so, we pray for them. And the Spirit of God comes, you know, And he touches you so deeply that you become really addicted to it. So me and my wife have helped start two of those chapters. And yesterday there was a lot of discouraging stuff happening in Parliament. Does anybody even know about that? Well, there was a debate going on. It was talking about, should a baby be considered to be a baby while it's in the womb based on scientific evidence? Because the law now states that a baby isn't considered a baby until it comes out of the womb, but we know that it has a heartbeat and it has a, right? Well, you should have heard what a lot of these MPs had to say. They were very mad and yelling. There was a lot of yelling. A lot of yelling. Devil was mad. A lot of foolishness, too. Oh, a lot of foolishness. They couldn't even actually debate the actual question. They just kept talking about law, previous laws and past precedents. That was it, round and round and round. And we were pretty discouraged because, you know, even the Prime Minister voted against it. And we've been praying and praying for the end of human trafficking. We held a prayer vigil over there. We held one over there. And they've been very fruitful. People have been getting saved and released from brothels. There's been all these crazy busts. One of the first prayer vigils we did, there was a bust on Dixon Drive, and 13 kids got saved. They got pulled out of abuse. You know, we've had lots of victory. But then this week, unfortunately, it's going to the Supreme Court. They're ending prostitution laws. And this guy came and he wants to open this giant brothel, and they want to open up this MGM-style Las Vegas casino in Toronto. And they're talking about whether they should give us a chance to vote on it or not, because the last three times we voted on it, it was always voted no. And it's just been a lot of, for me and my wife, a lot of like, it's okay, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God does what? He raises a standard against it. And we're doing a lot of things that are making him mad, so this is good. You know, he's overplaying his hand. Ha. But it's been an exhausting week for me. We're doing this thing. It's in my jacket. The flyer I have for The Cry. Anybody know what The Cry is? Good. This awesome lady, it's okay, named Fatine Crisco, does these things on Parliament Hill and all around, and they fast and pray for 24 hours and cry out for cities and for revival. Yeah. Here, can you zoom the camera in on this? Okay. Good. You can see it now. It's in July. And we're going to have pre-cry meetings. There's over 500 churches involved in this. We're going to be crying out to God for revival in the city, because Toronto right now is a city under siege. There is a Bill 13 that they want to bring through that's basically... That's good. It's come through the TDSB. What they want to do is they want to get children as young as 4 to question their gender and have homosexuals come in and encourage them to become homosexuals. And they don't want to give parents the right to pull their kids out. They also want to have gay pride parades in the schools. This is coming from Toronto. And so me and my church have been very active in fighting against this. Very active. And praying and stuff. And so I'm really glad Fatine's here, and I'm really glad that the churches are getting together to cry out to God, because it's like 911, God. 911. And it's interesting. The Spirit is pouring on one hand, because there's all these churches that are getting on fire and experiencing revival, and I'm hearing all these stories, and I'm seeing Baptists and Methodist pastors in back rooms weeping and praying for the Father's love and revival to break out, because they're getting desperate. They don't know what else to do. So this week, I've been involved in a lot of stuff, but this week has just been like a Psalm 55 week for me. If that makes sense to you. I don't know. When I preach, I like to share my heart, so I hope you don't mind. Psalm 55. You know, I see the violence and the wickedness in the city. I see it. I see the restless and the moaning and the complaining and the noise, the voice of the enemy and the oppression of the wicked. You know? And my heart is severely pained within me. And I see terror and stuff, and I'm just like, oh, God, why? Why Casino? Why Bunny King? Why? Why Bill 13? Why all this stuff? You know, and I'm crying out to God because I see the strife and the violence in the city, and I know about these things they call pimp sticks, where they beat prostitutes and they convince them that they're owned. And now they've struck down all these, there's no human trafficking laws, and soon the government's going to actually endorse it. And I'm just like, no, it's not, in Jesus' name. It's not. They're not going to endorse it. It's going to go to the Supreme Court, and it's going to be over. Righteousness will prevail in our land. You know, and I'm just like, oh, God. You know, the wicked, I see the wicked, I see the madams on the TV, and they're flashing the victory sign at the Supreme Court, and they're all happy. And I'm just like, God, 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 God. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. I hope I'm not getting you too far down. I'm just a watchman on the wall telling the truth about what seems to be coming over the horizon. That's all I am. And I prayed. I talked to Fatine about it. And she said to me, she said, you know what, Jay? Don't worry. Fatine Crisco, she's the one who does these cries. She looked at me, she said, God says, if you don't quit, you will win. And pray in tongues, and she said stuff like, you know, when you get the breakthrough, it's because somebody else was praying and didn't get the breakthrough. And when you didn't get the breakthrough, it's because you're preparing the way for somebody else to get the breakthrough. So either way, God is going to win. Does that make sense? And the whole pray in tongues thing. Oh. Hey. Ha. God spoke to me for somebody here 3 weeks ago. A little longer than that. And he said, there's somebody or maybe multiple people here who feel tired. So tired. They feel like there's weight strapped to their legs and they just can't walk forward anymore. They feel weighed down by the troubles of this world and by distractions. And they just, ha, good, Holy Spirit, turn it up for whoever that is, for their sake. And they're tired and they're like, oh, God, I don't know if I can keep going forward. I just don't know. And I can concur. This week, I was just like, God, I'm getting more. As the news is piling up, and I was fasting yesterday even, I was like, God, come on. Come on, God. And God was just like, you know, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. And so I saw Isaiah 28:12. It talks about how the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will pray in a new tongue and it'll be line upon line. We're going to explore that a little more. and how this will be the rest of the Lord. I'm going to explain a little more. I'll give you a little background. I speaking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, where the people, they spoke and they heard the gospel in so many different languages, and 3,000 people got saved in one day. Ha. And it was line upon line, and the Lord's word was like a sword that went out and struck down the enemy. And just when the disciples were probably pretty tired after praying for however long that they prayed in that upper room, their numbers, there was thousands of people following Jesus at first, but they were dwindled down to 120. This time of pressing in was the time of trial. It was a time to persevere. But when they got the breakthrough, whoa, they sure got the breakthrough. The Spirit rushed in like a powerful, mighty wind, and the whole city shook. And they entered into the rest of the Lord. I had a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and they were like, telling me the tired story again. Tired. I don't think that I can receive the Holy Spirit the way that I used to receive the Holy Spirit. Has anybody ever felt like that? Yeah. I don't know. I wish I could get back to that place again, Jay. I hear that a lot, by the way, but I wish I could get back to that place again, but I just don't know how to get back there. And I just said, like, the biggest lie of the enemy. Do you know what? One of the biggest lies. He's got lots of big lies, by the way. All kinds of lies. Shouldn't listen to anything he says. But one of the ones I hate the most is, I can't receive the Holy Spirit the same way I used to. Because God is the same today, yesterday, and every day. And the only reason why you can't receive it is because I'm talking to somebody here. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I am talking to somebody. The only reason why you can't receive it is because you've agreed with the enemy that you can't receive it. So it's like me trying to give you my watch. If you don't want it, you just leave it on the floor. Doesn't matter how hard I try to give it to you. Because you believe that you don't want to receive it or you can't receive it, you won't. But if you know the truth and the truth sets you free, maybe today would be a good day to receive the Holy Spirit fresh. If you feel like that, just put your hands out like this. If you felt like you can't receive God the same way you used to feel him, here, he's falling now. Good. Fall, I see him falling on people. Ha! And just say, I renounce the lie that the enemy told me. It says that I can't receive the Holy Spirit the same way I used to. I embrace the truth. It says that Jesus died on a cross, and by his blood, by his stripes, I am able to receive more and more and more than what I've ever received before in the past. Because Jesus wants to give it to me, and I want to receive it. And as an act of will, by faith, I receive the Holy Spirit now. Yay! Good. Okay, moving right along. Ha. And so, getting it over here. There's a couple getting it over there. Good, good, good. Okay, you can. Just keep receiving it. And so, you know, in Psalm 55, it says, oh, that I might enter the sanctuary of God, that I might rest underneath the shadow of his wings and find rest. I want to enter into the rest of the Lord. Because I know that in the rest of the Lord, there is the fullness of joy. There is peace. All fear is gone. There is strength. You renew your strength like an eagle. You run and not grow weary. You walk and not grow faint. Ha. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, he's like, come to me and I will give you rest. All you who are heavy burden. Oh, joy. The Comforter has come. Best friend, my best friend. If you have a heavy burden that you feel like you've been carrying around, I had lots of heavy burdens that I felt like I was carrying around this week. Oh, I was just talking about a few of them. Oh, I was getting crushed underneath my heavy burdens. And Jesus came along in Fatine. Jesus came along. And he said, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues. So I spent a good while speaking in tongues. Actually, it's funny, when I went home to pray for stuff, couldn't pray for anything, had no prayers. And members of my church know that is something rare. Always have a prayer. See? Couldn't pray anything. All I could do is pray in tongues. Why? Because in Ephesians 14 it says that tongues edify us and build us up, lift us up and fill us with new strength. In Corinthians it says that the Spirit comes and he searches the deep things of a man, and the deep cries on to the deep, and he brings the deep things of God into a man or woman. Ah, who wants the deep things of God? I want the deep things of God. Ha. Ah. Come to him and he will give you rest. You can take your heavy burden. How many have a heavy burden this week? It's not a heavy burden. Oh. Right now. Surrender that burden to God. Get free. It feels good, I promise. Oh, feels good. Whew. Oh. You see, in John 14, it says, Jesus says, I will send, do not worry about the world. And what's going, it says that. It says, don't worry. I'm going to send you a helper and he will give you peace. Peace that goes beyond understanding. Now, peace is joy resting. And joy is peace dancing. C.S. Lewis once said, I believe that. How many want peace? How many want anxiety and worry? Don't put up your hand. Choice is obvious, right? Put up your hand here. Come on, let's get some peace. Ha. Let's come to God with our heavy burdens. I want you to speak out your burden to God, whatever it is. Could be for the church. It could be for whatever. Could be for prostitution. Could be for next week's breakfast. I don't know. He knows. I could ask him. Ha. But I got to keep moving, so. Ha. I just ask Holy Spirit right now that you just begin to pour out those buckets of peace you showed me those angels had. Good. Ha. Don't wait for the end, Lord. Let's get them now. Ha, there they come. The burden's not worth hanging on to. Not 1 minute. Can't carry it anyways. Only Jesus is big enough to carry that burden. He made it that way so you could find peace, strength, rest in Him. In Jesus. Ha. Ah. And so in John 16:13, he says, you know, I'll send you the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And if you keep reading 14:15, it says, and He will turn whatever sorrow you have into joy. Here, joy. Shh. Give me some oil, Daddy. Ha. The oil of joy. Oil of gladness. Ha. You can rest in the Lord. Some people have been distracted. The Lord told me to talk about distractions. There's all kinds of distractions out there. Movies, TV, relationships, things that you might be afraid of, worries, doubts. A million distractions out there. A lot of times we focus on our distraction, whatever our distraction is, whatever our burden is, and we're not focusing on the Lord. And He wants to turn our sorrow into joy. He wants to turn our stress into peace through the revelation and receiving of the Holy Spirit. And you will, or might, you will speak in a different tongue. Or you might speak in English and the Lord will give you a revelation. A word from God, line upon line. Ha. Like in Isaiah, and you will enter into the place of rest in God, the place of faith, the place of peace, the place where you know miracles can happen, the place where you receive barely without even asking. Because Jesus is the answer to every problem that we have. He really is. Won't you come to the Lord with your burden? Won't you let Him turn your worry into peace? And your sorrow into joy? Turn from your distraction, whatever it is, to the Lord. Turn your heart to the Lord and dip it into the stream of life. Stream of refreshing. The Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul wrote the Romans. He's like, I want to come in the fullness of peace, some translations say it. Other translations say the fullness of joy, that we might all be refreshed, strengthened, renewed in God. God is knocking. He's knocking on the door. Will you let Him in? Will you open the door? God wants to skip you across the mountains of all your worry and all your doubt. Come, my beloved, my darling, my dove, my beautiful one, my fair one. Speaks destiny and hope into our worry and our anxiety, into our tiredness and into our stress. Come with me, my love. What happens when you come with God? You get to sit beside him. You're raised up, you sit beside him in heavenly places. Seated beside God, it says, boldly enter into the rest of God. You'll find that he'll place a scepter of iron in your hand, and it says that in Revelations 2:27, and you'll dash your enemies to pieces like pottery. Come up here, church. Out of ashes and into beauty. Out of shame into joy, joy, joy. The helper has come. God sent the Holy Spirit that we might be filled. Be filled to all fullness. That used to be my favorite thing. Do not be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit with psalms, hymns, praising. Usually songs, hymns, praising, and words from God are what? Faith. And the sword of the Lord that proceeds out of his mouth and slices down all of his enemies. Ha! Did you know that sword can come through you? Did you know that? If you keep reading in Isaiah, it says that as you speak in these tongues, precept to precept, line upon line, the Lord starts putting his enemies underneath his feet. The Lord starts going to war for Israel as they enter into rest. Ha! What do you got to lose? Anxiety and fear? What do you got to gain? The fairest among 10,000, the Holy of Holies. Peace, joy, love, strength, security. Hallelujah. Nations, families, breakthroughs. Ha. Testimony. You get to lose the natural and step into the supernatural. Ha. You get to take the weights off your shoulders. You know, yeah, you get to be yoked with Christ. Yoked with Christ, married to Christ. And his burden is easy. And his yoke is light. We need some ministry team, or some worship team and some ministry team to come up. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Shalom arababa kubra. We're going to have lines along there and lines along the front. And those who are a ministry team, if you already have peace and security in God, then I'd invite you to come up and help these guys catch, my cell guys. And if you don't have it yet, then I invite you to come up and stand on this line and be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point where you're baptized, to the point where you're overflowing. As we worship God, if you just want to worship God, that's fine too. Ha. But I'm telling you guys, there's more. Nothing's going to hold you back. That's for somebody out there too. Nothing is going to hold you back. Nothing. The only thing that will hold us back is us. Amen? And God's even taking care of that right now. So, Lord, I pray that each and every person here today, Lord, would find that place of peace, find a place of rest, that they would find themselves underneath the shadow of the shelter of God's wings, that they would find themselves surrounded by His glory. They'd find themselves being renewed, refreshed, filled with joy, filled with peace that passes all understanding, that they might run and not grow weary, that they might walk and not grow faint, that You would raise them up on the wings of an eagle. Renew our strength. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.